Welcome to day 82 of my Everyday Bible. This is Rita Langland, your host from Hidden with Christ Ministries in Tustin, California. Today we are entering an exciting portion of Scripture. We are starting in the book of Joshua. We will read today from Joshua chapter 1 through the end of Joshua chapter 4. And just as introduction, allow me to make a few comments to set the stage for this book. We have just ended the first five books of the Bible, also known as the Pentateuch or the books of Moses. Those books are considered by Bible scholars to be the books of law. And we are now entering, starting with Joshua, the books of history in the Bible. It will take us from Joshua all the way through the book of Esther. And these books of history are quite fascinating, and they have so much to teach us as New Testament believers. Joshua is an amazing figure in Bible history. He was a servant of God. He was faithful to God. He believed the Lord. He was a man of faith and power. And I know that you'll enjoy hearing of his exploits. But as far as the book of Joshua is concerned, it's a fascinating book, but it's a vital book for our lives today. The book of Joshua is symbolic for us as New Testament believers. Joshua himself, you could say, portrays Jesus Christ, the captain of our salvation, as he is referred to in the book of Hebrews. In fact, Joshua's name in Hebrew actually means Yahweh is salvation, and it's the equivalent of the Greek name Jesus. So we see that Joshua is representative of the Lord himself, and his exploits, the battles, the conquering exploits that he has as he enters the land promised to the people of Israel by the Lord is significant for us today. The promised land represents the promised blessings of God. It represented this to the people of Israel, but it also is symbolic for us. All the promises of God, the scripture tells us, are yes and amen, meaning that they are intended by God to be possessed by his people. God wants to say yes to blessing your life. God wanted to say yes to the people of Israel entering the promised land and taking possession of the land that flowed with milk and honey. And so we're going to see that in the book of Joshua, there is a realization of the promises God has made. In the book of Deuteronomy, which we just concluded, you could say it was a book of anticipation of entering the promised land, whereas Joshua is the book of realization of entering the promised land or the fulfillment of it. So it's going to be powerful. I believe you're going to receive much from it as we learn Joshua's spiritual secrets of conquering and possessing the promised land. God himself wants you to take hold of the promises of God for your own life. And that is what we're taught in the book of Joshua. So as we begin Joshua chapter 1, we are reading from the Amplified Bible. Joshua 1, beginning at verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' minister, Moses, my servant, is dead. So now, arise, take his place, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land which I am giving to them, the Israelites. Every place upon which the sole of your foot shall tread, that have I given to you, as I promised Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon to the great river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, Canaan, and to the great Mediterranean Sea on the west shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong, confident, and of good courage, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only you be strong and very courageous, that you may do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe and do according to all that is written in it. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall deal wisely and have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong, vigorous, and very courageous. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, Pass through the camp and command the people, prepare your provisions, for within 3 days you shall pass over this Jordan to go in to take possession of the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess. And to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joshua said, Remember what Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, The Lord your God is giving you, of these 2.5 tribes, a place of rest and will give you this land east of the Jordan. Your wives, your little ones, and your cattle shall dwell in the land which Moses gave you on this side of the Jordan. But all your mighty men of valor shall pass on before your brethren of the other tribes, armed, and help them possess their land. Until the Lord gives your brethren rest, as he has given you, and they also possess the land the Lord your God is giving them, then you shall return to the land of your possession and possess it, the land Moses, the Lord's servant, gave you on the sunrise side of the Jordan. They answered Joshua, All you command us, we will do, and wherever you send us, we will go. As we hearken to Moses in all things, so will we hearken to you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your commandment and will not hearken to all you command him shall be put to death. Only be strong, vigorous, and of good courage. Chapter 2. Joshua, son of Nun, sent 2 men secretly from Shittim as scouts, saying, Go, view the land, especially Jericho. And they went and came to the house of a harlot named Rahab and lodged there. It was told the king of Jericho, Behold, there came men in here tonight of the Israelites to search out the country. And the king of Jericho sent to Rahab, saying, Bring forth the men who have come to you, who entered your house, for they have come to search out the land. But the woman had taken the 2 men and hidden them. So she said, Yes, 2 men came to me, but I did not know from where they had come. And at gate closing time, after dark, the men went out. Where they went, I do not know. Pursue them quickly, for you will overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof and hidden them under the stalks of flax which she had laid in order there. So the men pursued them to the Jordan as far as the fords. As soon as the pursuers had gone out, the city's gate was shut. Before the 2 men had lain down, Rahab came up to them on the roof. And she said to the men, I know that the Lord has given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the 2 kings of the Amorites who were on the east side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. When we heard it, our hearts melted. Neither did spirit or courage remain any more in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. Now then, I pray you, swear to me by the Lord, since I have shown you kindness, that you also will show kindness to my father's house, and give me a sure sign, and save alive my father and mother, my brothers and sisters and all they have, and deliver us from death. And the men said to her, our lives for yours. If you do not tell this business of ours, then when the Lord gives us the land, we will deal kindly and faithfully with you. Then she let them down by a rope through the window, for her house was built into the town wall, so that she dwelt in the wall. And she said to them, get to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you. Hide yourselves there 3 days, until the pursuers have returned, and afterward you may go your way. The men said to her, we will be blameless of this oath you have made us swear. The responsibility is now yours. Behold, when we come into the land, you shall bind this scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down, and you shall bring your father and mother, your brothers, and all your father's household into your house. And if anyone goes out of the doors of your house into the street, his blood shall be upon his own head, and we will be guiltless. But if a hand is laid upon anyone who is with you in the house, his blood shall be on our head. But if you tell this business of ours, we shall be guiltless of your oath which you made us swear. And she said, according to your words, so it is. Then she sent them away, and they departed. And she bound the scarlet cord in the window. They left and went to the mountain and stayed there 3 days until the pursuers returned, who had searched all along the way without finding them. So the two men descended from the mountain, passed over the Jordan, and came to Joshua, son of Nun, and told him all that had befallen them. They said to Joshua, truly the Lord has given all the land into our hands, for all the inhabitants of the country are faint because of us. Chapter 3. Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to the Jordan, he and all the Israelites, and lodged there before passing over. After 3 days, the officers went through the camp, commanding the people, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God being borne by the Levitical priests, set out from where you are and follow it. Yet a space must be kept between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near it, that you may be able to see the ark and know the way you must go, for you have not passed this way before. And Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves, that is, separate yourselves for a special holy purpose, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Joshua said to the priests, take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass over before the people. And they took it up and went on before the people. The Lord said to Joshua, this day I will begin to magnify you in the sight of all Israel, so they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. You shall command the priests who bear the Ark of the Covenant. When you come to the brink of the waters of the Jordan, you shall stand still in the Jordan. Joshua said to the Israelites, come near, hear the words of the Lord your God. Joshua said, hereby you shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will surely drive out from before you the Canaanites, Hittites, Hivites, Perizzites, Girgashites, Amorites, and Jebusites. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth is passing over before you into the Jordan. So now take 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe. When the soles of the feet of the priests who bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth shall rest in the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan coming down from above shall be cut off, and they shall stand in one heap. So when the people set out from their tents to pass over the Jordan, with the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, and when those who bore the Ark had come to the Jordan, and the feet of the priests bearing the Ark were in the brink of the water, for the Jordan overflows all its banks throughout the time of harvest, Then the waters which came down from above stood and rose up in a heap far off at Adam, the city that is beside Zarethan, and those flowing down toward the Sea of the Arabah, the salt, Dead Sea, were wholly cut off, and the people passed over opposite Jericho. And while all Israel passed over on dry ground, the priests who bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan until all the nation finished passing over the Jordan. Chapter 4. When all the nation had fully passed over the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, "Take 12 men from among the people, one man out of every tribe, and command them, 'Take 12 stones out of the midst of the Jordan from the place where the priests' feet stood firm, carry them over with you, and leave them at the place where you lodge tonight.'" Then Joshua called the 12 men of the Israelites whom he had appointed, a man from each tribe. And Joshua said to them, "Pass over before the ark of the Lord your God in the midst of the Jordan, and take up every man of you a stone on his shoulder, as is the number of the tribes of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, when your children ask in time to come, 'What do these stones mean to you?' Then you shall tell them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, when it passed over the Jordan. The waters of Jordan were cut off. So these stones shall be to the Israelites a memorial forever." And the Israelites did as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of the Jordan, according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites, as the Lord told Joshua, and carried them over with them to the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant had stood, and they are there to this day. For the priests who bore the ark stood in the midst of the Jordan until everything was finished that the Lord commanded Joshua to tell the people, according to all that Moses had commanded Joshua. The people passed over in haste. When all the people had passed over, the ark of the Lord and the priests went over in the presence of the people. And the sons of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh passed over armed before the other Israelites, as Moses had bidden them. About 40,000 of these, prepared for war, passed over before the Lord to the plains of Jericho for battle. On that day, the Lord magnified Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they stood in awe of him as they stood in awe of Moses all the days of his life. And the Lord said to Joshua, "Order the priests bearing the Ark of the Testimony to come up out of the Jordan." So Joshua commanded the priests, "Come up out of the Jordan." And when the priests who bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord had come up out of the midst of the Jordan, and the soles of their feet were lifted up to the dry land, the waters of the Jordan returned to their place and flowed over all its banks as they had before. And the people came up out of the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month and encamped in Gilgal on the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of the Jordan, Joshua set up in Gilgal. And he said to the Israelites, "When your children ask their fathers in time to come, 'What do these stones mean?' you shall let your children know, 'Israel came over this Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan for you until you passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up for us until we passed over, that all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, and that you may reverence and fear the Lord your God forever.'" That is the end of today's scripture reading. In today's scripture reading, we see the amazing story of Joshua taking the baton, so to speak, from Moses and stepping up as the new leader of the Israelites. And he's been given the phenomenal assignment by God to take the children of Israel into the promised land, which they have been waiting for decades. And now he's the one chosen to take them in. There's much in these first four chapters, but there's only one thing I want to focus on in today's devotional, and that is the powerful instructions that God himself gave to Joshua on how he could be prosperous and successful in the task which he was given by the Lord. God himself spoke to Joshua in the very first chapter and told him to be strong and courageous, and that he would cause the people to inherit the land, that God would use him, Joshua, to be that person. But he gave him a secret for success. You know, we live in a day when people are looking for the secret to success. They buy books and read on the internet and try every possible way to find out how to be successful. And yet the key, the secret to success, has been hidden in the Word of God for thousands of years. And those who are wise have taken hold of it. And we find this secret to success in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. And these are the words of God to Joshua on how he could be successful in his assigned leadership position and the task of leading the children of Israel into the promised land. The verse tells us this, Joshua 1, verse 8. These are God's words. "This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe and do according to all that is written in it. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall deal wisely and have good success." God himself gave Joshua the key to success and prosperity in this one verse of scripture. He starts out by telling him, "You cannot allow my word." God referred to it as the book of the law. That was all Joshua had, the first five books, the books of Moses, these books of the law from Genesis to Deuteronomy. That was all Joshua had. We are blessed today in our generation because we have the entire Bible. We have not only the first five books, but all the books of history, including Joshua. We have the books of the prophets. We have the Old Testament and the New Testament, and the revelation that the New Testament gives us about the Old Testament. So we have been given much more than Joshua was given, and yet God said if Joshua would just keep the word of God that he had in his heart and in his mind, he told him to meditate on it. He told him to not say anything but what was in the word of God. So not only in his mind, he was to speak it out of his mouth. And if he observed it and did according to all that was written in it, he would make his way prosperous and he would have wisdom to deal with every situation that would arise as a leader, and he would have good success. This is a key that Joshua took hold of, and Joshua's testimony to this day is that he fulfilled his God-given mission successfully. He prospered. He was faithful to God in it, and God used him to take the children of Israel into the promised land. That was Joshua's assignment. What is your assignment in life? Are you a parent? That is a very important and powerful assignment from God to raise up godly offspring. That requires wisdom. That requires knowing God's will. That requires so much more than we have as natural people. We can't do it in our own natural strength. But if you do as Joshua did. You meditate on the Word of God. You speak the Word of God out of your mouth. You are careful to do what is written in it. You will make your way prosperous, and you will deal wisely, and you will have good success as a parent. This applies to your life if you are a leader in business, if you're a teacher, if you're in the medical profession. No matter what profession you may be working or employed in, you can have good success. You can have wisdom to deal wisely with every situation that arises in your life. You can make your way prosperous by heeding the key that God gave to Joshua. It applies today so powerfully. I don't think that many people realize how critical this is for their own success. Not only their success, but even their survival in this world. It is easy in the generation that we live in to be beaten down by your circumstances. It is easy in the time that we live in to come under the oppression of fear, because we hear reports on every side of crime and of war and all kinds of horrible things happening that could incite fear into the heart of man. And yet, God never intended for you to be a fearful person. God never intended for you to be under the circumstances. He intended for you as a believer to be overcomers, over the circumstance, on top of the circumstance, directing your circumstances, not under them. And yet we have been given a key here in the book of Joshua that will absolutely enable you to have success in school, have success at work, have success in your family, have success in your finances, in every area of your life. The key is found in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. It worked for Joshua, and he had to lead a group of people, over a million people, into the promised land and successfully defeat enemy after enemy, and then possess the land. It was an absolutely huge task that he had been given by the Lord, but the Lord didn't send him in without the key to success. He told him, "This book of the law," meaning the Word of God that I've given to you, "shall not depart out of your mouth." You know what that means? That means you should not be saying anything that does not agree with the Word of God. When a person speaks something that doesn't agree with God's Word, they have allowed the Word of God to depart from their mouth, because they're saying something contrary to it. They're saying something that's not in agreement with the Word. That's when you've allowed it to depart from your mouth. When you gossip, you've departed from the Word of God. When you complain, you've departed from the Word of God, because the Word of God tells us not to complain. When you're ungrateful and unthankful, you've allowed the Word of God to depart out of your mouth, because the Scripture tells us, give thanks in all things. When you are speaking about yourself in a negative way, "Oh, I can't do that. I don't know how to do that. I'm so stupid. I look so terrible." When you begin to say things that are not in agreement with God's Word, because the Word of God says that you are precious in the sight of God, that you are the apple of God's eye. It says that you were fearfully and wonderfully made. And so many people in our generation speak negatively about themselves, whether it's about their appearance, whether it's about their intellect, their skills, their abilities, and this is a habit pattern that they've begun to engage in, and it is so destructive. It's self-destructive, and it's absolutely not in agreement with the Word of God, because God's Word tells us you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. That's a scripture from the New Testament. We will get to that eventually in our reading, but these are examples of how we will often allow God's Word to depart from our mouth when we speak things that are not in agreement with the Word of God. And that is a guarantee, if you do that, a guarantee not of success, but of failure. It's a guarantee of things going in a bad way for you instead of prospering. God wants you to be a person who takes hold of every promise of God, just like God wanted the people of Israel to go in and possess the promised land. He wants you to go in and possess all the promises of God for your life. And you are able to do that by the power of God, by the Spirit of God, if you'll take hold of this important key. Do not allow the word of God to depart out of your mouth, meaning don't speak anything that isn't life and blessing, because that's what God's word talks about. Don't speak death and curses over yourself or over anyone else, over your family, over your business. Don't speak, "I think we're going under. I think we're going to have to declare bankruptcy. I think we're going to lose the house, lose the car." When you begin to speak like that, you're not speaking in agreement with the word of God, because God wants you to make your way prosperous. God wants you to deal wisely in the affairs of life. God wants you to have good success. Those things are what God's word says. And you have to begin to retrain yourself to line up with Joshua 1:8, where the word of the Lord does not depart out of your mouth. It's easy to repeat what we hear on the television or what we hear on the news or what we read in the newspaper or on the internet or from people that we're around. And if we repeat those things that don't agree with God's word, we have allowed the word to depart out of our mouth, and that will not assist you in your life. Instead, we need to turn the tables. We need to reverse that whole situation. We need to begin to meditate, as the scripture says here, meditate on God's word day and night. One of the ways you do that is, as you're doing this very moment, listening, hearing, and hearing, and hearing the word of God. So what you're doing right now is helping you to renew your mind with the word of God, so you can keep a God focus in everything that you think about and everything that you say. And this will assist you in this process of not allowing the word of God to depart out of your mouth and keeping it in your mind. You know, we have this promise from the book of Isaiah that says that the person who will fix his mind upon the Lord, and you could say upon everything God has said, his word, that person will be in perfect peace. Perfect peace for the person who will fix his mind on God. You know, you do that through thinking about, meditating, repeating, reciting, and memorizing the word of God, because you're fixing your mind on God and what he says. And God and his word are one. They can't be separated. So this is a vital key for you to have prosperity and success in your life. You can't be successful and prosperous if you have anxiety every day, if you are not in peace. You need to be able to fix your mind on the word, meditate on it day and night. When you wake up in the morning, first thing you can do, you can read your Bible, or you can put on a recording of the word of God being read. And then when you go to bed at night, do the same thing again, because it's a way to begin to meditate on the word of God. You will never know how powerful meditating and memorizing scripture is until you are in a desperate situation and wish you could call up to memory scripture to recite at the time of need. And probably one of the most poignant stories I have ever heard is a story that was told by a man named Howard Rutledge. The man was a pilot during the Vietnam War, and he wrote a book called In the Presence of My Enemies. And he gave a very powerful testimony about the importance of memorizing scripture and meditating on scripture. And I'm going to read little excerpts from his book, because I want to just punctuate the importance of what I'm talking about today and how powerful it will be for your life if you will take to heart memorizing and meditating on the Word of God, so that at the moment of need you can pull it up to your memory when you don't have a Bible handy to read. Listen to the power of this story. This is a man who was taken captive. He was shot down over Vietnam during the Vietnam War in the 1960s, and this man was taken prisoner. He was a prisoner for 7 years. 5 of those years were in solitary confinement. Many of his fellow soldiers or airmen that were captured at that same time literally curled up into the fetal position and died. They gave up and they died as a result. But Howard Rutledge and some of his fellow airmen were determined to maintain an attitude that would keep them alive. And they found in that place of solitary confinement and in that prison that one of the most powerful things that they could do was try to recall scripture verses that they had learned as children. And Howard Rutledge said he found that he had never intentionally memorized scripture. He hadn't taken spiritual things very seriously, but it was only in his childhood when he was raised in a Baptist church. In the first 18 years of his life, he was in Sunday school in that Baptist church in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and he learned Bible songs and scripture verses and gospel choruses and hymns that they sang in the church, and he was able, because of those things from his childhood, to begin to remember things that would help keep him alive. Basically, remembering what was in the Word of God, meditating on it day and night, literally kept him alive. He said these words, and I'm quoting from his book. "Now the sights and sounds and smells of death were all around me. My hunger for spiritual food soon outdid my hunger for a steak. Now I wanted to know about that part of me that will never die. Now I wanted to talk about God and Christ and the church. But in solitary confinement, there was no pastor, no Sunday school teacher, no Bible, no hymn book, no community of believers to guide and sustain me. I had completely neglected the spiritual dimension of my life. It took prison to show me how empty life is without God." So he began to try to remember all those words that he had learned in those Sunday school days from his childhood. He and his friends, they would try to remember songs that they sang. And he said these words, "Most of my fellow prisoners were struggling like me to rediscover faith, to reconstruct workable value systems. Everyone knew the Lord's Prayer and the 23rd Psalm, but the camp favorite verse was John 3:16. How I struggled to recall those scriptures and hymns. I had spent my first 18 years in Sunday school, and I was amazed at how much I could recall. Regrettably, I had not seen then the importance of memorizing verses from the Bible. Now, when I needed them, it was too late. I never dreamed that I would spend almost 7 years, 5 of them in solitary confinement in a prison in North Vietnam, or that thinking about one memorized verse could have made the whole day bearable. One portion of a verse I did remember was, 'Thy word have I hid in my heart.' How often I wished I had really worked to hide God's word in my heart." The enemy knew that the best way to break a man's resistance was to crush his spirit in a lonely cell. All this talk of scripture and hymns may seem boring to some, but it was the way we conquered our enemy and overcame the power of death around us. Now, I share that testimony with you to say this issue brought up in Joshua 1:8 about meditating on the Word of God, thinking about it day and night, watching to make sure that you're doing what is written in the Word of God, and then not allowing that word to depart out of your mouth. It is the way that will keep you alive, as these prisoners found. But not only that, it'll make your way in life prosperous. It'll give you wisdom to deal wisely with whatever arises, difficulties, problems, seemingly insurmountable problems that may come your way. And God will give you the wisdom through the Word of God to deal wisely, and He will give you good success. Joshua took it to heart, and his testimony is he fulfilled his purpose in God, and he had a good testimony until the day of his death. Isn't that what you want for your life? That you can go till the day you die with the testimony that you've fulfilled God's purpose for your life, and that you have, by the grace of God, your way has been made prosperous. You've raised your children in a way that pleases the Lord, that God's given you wisdom to deal with issues in life, and you've had good success because of God's word. I want to encourage you, take this to heart today. It'll change your life forever. If you make this to be more important than watching television, more important than your recreational activities, taking hold of and meditating on the Word of God. God wants to make your way prosperous. He wants you to have wisdom, and He wants to give you good success. Take hold of the key to success found in Joshua 1:8, and you will see your life changed for the better in every possible way. God bless you. Give you a victorious week.